Bibles, I invite you to go in your Bibles back over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I want to go back down there to verse 14. And you'll notice as I read, and we're going to look back in Ephesians here in just a moment too, but notice verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And then going over into verse chapter 3 and verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Lord, I do pray now as we finish looking at this passage that you would speak to our hearts, Lord. Give us the things we need. Help us to obey those things that you show us, to obey each and every principle set forth in this passage. And Lord, help us not to remain as a natural man, but Lord, that we would grow in your grace and knowledge. And we thank you, Lord, for what you'll do. In Christ's holy name, amen. Well, as I mentioned this morning, there are three types of men in the eyes of God. And that is the natural man, the spiritual man, and the carnal man. Those are the three men. And in verses 14, we read of the natural man. He receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And then he speaks of the spiritual man, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Or what he's saying, he himself is judged of no man, actually meaning that his morals, his hopes, his fears, the natural man knows nothing of that. So he can't place judgment on that. Just as we are not to be involved or know the ways of the natural man doesn't know the spirit man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And again, it's going back to Paul's overall theme, which is Jesus Christ and him crucified. He wanted to settle that in the hearts and minds of the people, that was his purpose. And he goes on in chapter 3, and he said, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with meat. And he wanted them to understand, look, I'm sharing this with you because this is as far as you have grown in your Christian faith. So I'm dealing with you pretty much as a child. He's dealing with them as a child. They're still on the milk of the word. And he said, and for good reason, they weren't ready for the meat of the word. They hadn't arrived to that point where they could handle the meat of the word. You know, when we come to church, we come in and we hear the preaching of God's word. We pray together. We sing together. But here's the thing. If that's all that an individual is getting, they're going to be malnourished. Did you know that the majority of our spiritual growth and our spiritual sustenance is to come in our own time, in God's Word alone with God. That's when we are to grow the most. Coming to church is to exhort the brethren and to encourage, but this should not be the only time we spend time with God. There should be our own private time that we have with the Lord. Terry and I celebrated our 35 years this past Monday being married. It was 35 years ago right here in this sanctuary that she walked the aisle right here, and that changed the course of her life. And 35 years, and we really have enjoyed the Puritan writings, and she gave me a book on the life of Christ written by the Puritans. I'm trying to remember the fellow's name, Terry. Do you remember? Rutherford. Yes, that was it. Rutherford. Phenomenal writings. I was reading it early this morning, and I tell you, those people had a true closeness with God. I mean, they were so close to the Lord. It was just amazing of their testimonies and how close they were in the way that they would speak and the way they would pray to God. And, you know, it reminds me of when we had the some of the national pastors over, and one of the men from Kenya, Africa. They have the most beautiful language. Love to hear those people speak. And that one pastor from Kenya, as he prayed, wow, I tell you, it shook the bricks of this church when he prayed. And a phrase that he said I still remember is, "O King of Glory." Now, how often do we really think about what we're saying when we're speaking to the Lord? But when he was praying, I tell you, there was just a sense that we were in the presence of God. And I'm not speaking of, I know some people say, I love to hear this person pray or this person pray. But there's a difference there. There's not just the fact that he was praying very earnestly and in a very genuine way, but also praying God's word. You know, that's important, to pray God's word as we spend time in prayer and to quote God's word in prayer. But this is a time we come together to encourage each other, to exhort one another, to grow in our faith. It's a time that we can grow. You know, I love to see when people come to church that they have their Bible with them. I love to see people take notes. If ever we have a special speaker, I always strive to take notes because I know what will happen if I don't. My mind is going to wander. And the main reason I want to take notes is to keep me plugged in to the message. And it's a great idea at the beginning of each year to purchase a sermon journal and keep it up throughout the whole year. And for Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and to take notes. And many of you do. And you go back, and I love when people take notes and they come back and they say, I this past week went back and was studying that passage of Scripture. And that is so encouraging to know when you do that. But it keeps us plugged in, because what happens is when you take notes, you're not only hearing, but you're also seeing and you're writing. So there's three types of communication going on in your brain: to see it, to hear it, and to write it. It just does something. I know years ago, in going through Bible college, Dr. Ron Comfort, he made it mandatory, and I'm really glad he did this, but he made it mandatory that we would take detailed notes during the chapel services. And that's exactly how he shared with us. He said, you know, then you're not only hearing it, you're seeing it, and you're writing it. And it does make a difference. I would encourage you, if you don't normally take notes — I'm not trying to make you feel bad if you're not studious into some note-taking right now — but I would encourage you, try it. Go by Office Depot or Hobby Lobby and get you one of those journals and bring it and try to listen for the title of the message. Have the theme of the message, the scriptures we go to. And a lot of times we don't have time to turn to each and every verse. However, if you can write those down, you can go back to those. But I would encourage you, if you don't have a sermon journal, I encourage you to get one. It really is life-changing. And ever since my college days, I always take notes when I hear preaching. I know it helps me stay plugged in, but this is a time we come together as the body of Christ. But this should not be our only spiritual food. And if this is the only spiritual food we're getting, we will be malnourished. We need God's Word. And I love the creation moments. I love the daily bread. I love the Acts study. And we get those little small monthlies that we can go through. And they're maybe a half a page long. And they are good. I'm not saying don't do that. Well, you should. But don't let that be the only Bible study you have, or you will be malnourished. We need to go deeper in God's Word. Well, he explains the natural man. Well, the natural man simply can't know the things of God. In fact, he even looks at the things of God as being foolish. It's silly. It's just a joke. And then the spirit man. The spiritual man is making wise judgments. He's using God's wisdom, not man's wisdom. But then also, in chapter 3, he's also dealing with the carnal man. Now, a carnal person, as he is writing in the context, he's writing to believers. And so here, it's dealing with someone who is saved, but they're still carnal-minded. They don't have the mind of Christ. They're not growing. And that's exactly what was happening in Corinth. And then we looked over at Ephesians chapter 2 about our quickening in Christ. When God made us alive in Christ, up until that time, we were dead. We were spiritually dead. We had no spiritual senses. And then, once we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, God gave us those spiritual senses. And I just to review, and I'm not going to preach back through those, but we, in our past state of being, we were lost, living in the graveyard of sin. But when we got saved, God delivered us from the graveyard of sin. We no longer have to wear those old burial clothes. We have been quickened in Christ Jesus. We've been made alive. Everybody say, alive. Now look to your neighbor and say, get alive. Alive. We are alive in Christ. And then, after the natural man, through the drawing of God the Father, by the blood of Jesus, through the convincing or the convicting of the Holy Spirit, he gets saved. Then he becomes a spirit being. He has the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and we shared a few things that happen when we gain our spiritual senses. Well, there's the sense of pain. There's the sense of surprise. There's the sense that quickening also brings about a different mindset, a different knowledge. And in that we have questions. We want to ask questions. We want to understand things. And I share with you this morning, it's just like a five-year-old who's going to have 100 questions an hour. Why? Because they're learning. They're starting to put everything together, and they're learning, and they're adding it all up, and they're growing in their physical being. But up until this time, that's the most we had. We were nothing more than like a vagrant of an animal who has no soul or spirit, but we're just living physical beings. But then after we got saved, we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And this quickening also brings about new things in our lives, to attempt new things. I know that there are people who, before they got saved, they would have never pictured themselves perhaps teaching a class in church or a Sunday school class. Maybe being a deacon or something of that nature in the church. They never pictured themselves as being like that. But, you know, God has a way of changing things. And when we step out in faith, God will bless us for that. Don't allow pride to keep you from serving. That's why most people in the church, they don't want to serve. Well, first and foremost, people in general, all of us, we don't like obligation. Obligation, there comes responsibility, and we have to be responsible. And, you know, people don't want to have, we already have so many obligations in our work lives and our families and all this stuff. But a lot of people don't want the obligation. But secondly, people are just very frightened over the fact that they're going to mess up. They're going to fail, or they're going to fail in front of everyone while they're teaching. But, you know, when we have that attitude, that was the attitude of the Apostle Paul. He didn't come with eloquent speech. He knew what happened to him on the road to Damascus. He knew Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, and that was his theme. That's what he wanted them to know and understand. He wanted them to see he was not just a run-of-the-mill philosopher that came in. He didn't even use it. In fact, most often when the Apostle Paul is preaching, he uses the simplest of terms. He's not really deep. And by the way, it's not about that. It's not about being eloquent. It's not about who has the greatest vocabulary. I remember my Greek professor back in college. He had just a massive vocabulary. And I kept a pocket-sized Webster's Dictionary in his class, because oftentimes as he's teaching and lecturing, I was looking up the words that he's using to lecture just to try and keep up and know what he was saying. And that comes from a lot of reading and a study. And so someone like that, they're going to have a larger vocabulary, but it's not about being eloquent or who's the smartest or who's the funniest or who's the smoothest or who's the most dynamic. It's none of that. It's just the simple message of Christ. And he chose the foolish to confound the wise. Keep that in mind. But then we also, after our natural state, we then saw our present state of being. Notice back in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And I love verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We're not saved by works, but we are saved unto good works, that we would be busy about the Father's business. And keep in mind, even in our wretched, corrupt state, that's who Christ died for. In our lowest of the lows, in that wretched sin, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance in Christ Jesus, that everyone would come to that place of a changed mind of who God is and who they are. And then from there, we went into, I just began it this morning, but we didn't lay it out. And that is our future state of being. Verse 7, notice back there in Ephesians 2, verse 7, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. And again, if you've been quickened by God, dear friend, listen. You have more hope than the Hope Diamond. You have greater riches than Bill Gates, one of the richest men in the world. Someone had once estimated that he was making like $23,000 a minute. Just amazing. But you know what? We have more than Bill Gates. We have more because we have Christ. We have eternal life. You have a life more precious than any amount of diamonds, a life that will outlast anything on this earth. In fact, here's something. Our eternal life will outlast the sun and the moon. We're going to outlast that. What a thought. And get it, John 3 and verse 2 says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, that doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." And then back over in Philippians, the Apostle Paul, along these same lines, as he was dealing with the church at Philippi, it's a much different church, much different setting. The church of Philippi had grown greatly in their faith. Corinth did not. And I've always wondered why anyone, I've got a friend that goes to Corinth Baptist Church. I've always wondered why would someone name their church Corinth Baptist Church? They were a rebellious group of people. But it may just be the truest name of any church when you think of it, because it's in every church. And Paul said to the church of Philippi, who was a growing group of believers, they had a few problems, but he told them in Philippians 3 and verse 20, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." And he was reminding those people there in Philippi, listen, they had taken on Roman culture. They were colonized as a Roman colony, but they were not Roman by birth. But they learned how to dress like the Romans. They learned how to talk like the Romans. Everything the Romans did, they did. But he's reminding them, you may have been colonized into a Roman colony, but understand this, your true home is heaven. And our conversation now should match what our conversation is going to be in heaven. So Paul's overall message is this. Don't forget where you were. Dead in the pit of sin and corruption. That was the natural man who cannot understand the things of God. You know, that's why it's always best when you're trying to witness to someone. I tell you, the best thing that we can do is think Scripture. Share God's Word. Why? Well, because there's power in God's Word. We may have some really neat illustrations and some things that will really get someone's mind turning. That's all well and good, but the most powerful thing we can share with someone when we witness is the Word of God. Think Scripture. Always think. Scripture. What Scripture can I share with this individual? But we have to know Scripture if we're going to do that. I learned that from Brother Jim Berg. He is at Bob Jones University. I think he's the dean of students there, but just a phenomenal counselor, teacher, just excellent. We had him at the couples retreat a few years ago. But he's always shared, think Scripture whenever you're dealing with someone. Always think Scripture. So don't forget where you are. You are dead in the pit of sin and corruption. But number two, don't forget where you are. And you say, well, where are we? Well, I'll tell you where we are. We are alive in Christ Jesus, raised up and seated together with Christ in the heavenlies. In God's eyes, he already sees us as righteousness because of what Christ has done for us. And then number three, don't forget where you're going. To the heavenlies in Christ Jesus when we receive that glorified body. And again, though we were once aliens from God, you know what? It kind of switches, and we should now feel alien to this world. We shouldn't identify with this world like we once did, because we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. In short, it's all about exchanging living death for dying life. Because when we take our last breath here on earth, that's when life really begins. That's the beginning of real life. And so we're living now in this coming from a living death to a dying life, from the natural man to our present state, the spiritual man. At least it should be. We should be growing spiritually. And then our future home in heaven. Or if we're not the spiritual man, we're carnal and we're not growing. We're fleshly minded. We can only handle the things of the Word that are considered the milk of the Word. And some people never grow beyond their salvation experience. And there truly is so much more to be gained in knowledge and fellowship with the Lord Jesus. It goes beyond our salvation. And then going back there to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying." He's telling them now, here's why I know you're carnal. There's envying, there's strife, there's divisions. "Are ye not carnal and walk as men?" He's speaking of the natural man. You see, if you were to view in the church at Corinth and view those people, we would have seen no different as far as the way the world around their culture was living around them. They were living the same because they never grew in Christ. And he gives a further proof there. He says, "For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal?" You see the sad part for the natural man. Everything is based, his entire life is based on the temporal. Everything. Could you imagine if this was it? And everything we did was just based on the temporal things of this earth. Well, that's how a natural man lives every day. He wants to whatever feels good, tastes good, or whatever can build his bank account, whatever could be a material gain. Everything is based on the temporal parts of this world. And that's very sad. But for the believer, the spirit man, ours is not based on the temporal things. That's not to say that we shouldn't be responsible. We are to be good stewards with what God gives us, and we should take advantage of these things. God's given us beautiful creation to enjoy. We should be responsible with our finances. We should be responsible with taking care of things. You know, I've never understood why... some people, they'll get a new house and they just let it go. And they never do anything with it. They never keep it up. And they just let it just fall to shambles. Well, we should be better stewards than that as believers. It's not that we worship the material side of it. But here's the thing. God's given us an opportunity to be a light and a witness, a testimony to others. And those things are important. So the natural man is based all on the temporal. But for the spirit man, the spiritually minded man, is based on the eternal. Everything we do should be focused and aimed towards our eternal life. Why? Because that's where we're going. So we need to learn here how to speak and behave like true believers, because that's the home we're going to. We need to learn that now. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord. for your goodness. Thank you, God, for your word. Lord, as the Apostle Paul had said, Lord, he felt so unworthy to share your word. I do too. But Lord, help us to know it's not about the wisdom of this world. It's about you, Lord Jesus. And that we would be able to convey that in our daily testimonies and be able to grow in our spiritual lives. That we wouldn't stay and stagnate in one place, Lord, but that we would grow spiritually. Lord, help us to be that believer that could grow. Lord, I pray that you would guard us from having a carnal mindset. Lord, show us when we are going back toward the things of the world, that we're going the wrong way. And Lord, you do. Your Holy Spirit shows us that. But Lord, help us to listen. Help us to obey the conviction of your voice. And Lord, to do what's right. And I thank you, Lord, for what you'll do through this passage today. Help us, Lord, not to stay in the natural state, but Lord, to be a spirit-minded man, to have the mind of Christ, that we may not be carnal. In Christ's holy name,